Yeah. Okay. So what should we do now?
Time for Luther Gallus?
Yeah, let's do Luther Gallus. Okay. Okay.
Paratraining,
yeah.
End design?
End design, well...
Do we finish it?
I don't know. I'm finished.
Yeah.
No, I took a look at Ches. This is interesting.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Yeah. So Ches says like this. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, kibo me Hillel umishamai, hu haya omer, im lamadata Torah harbe, if you learn a lot of Torah, al tachzik tova le'atzmacha, don't take credit for yourself. Ki lekach notzarta, because that was what you were created for. Okay. I mean, is that really convincing? Does that follow? No, don't take credit, because that's what I was created for. Okay, I mean, I may have been created for it, but does that mean it's not a good achievement? I mean,
does that mean also you're created, whatever your capability of learning is, that's what it is, and there's no more? Meaning it's not based off of you?
Right. Does that mean it's not based off of you? And I had no input. Did I have no input? It was just programmed in, and that's it?
You're going to learn this in this amount. You're going to be this smart.
That's it. Okay, so that's your chalik, and you got your chalik. I mean, otherwise, and then you're saying, I didn't do anything. I mean, so then...
Isn't there Bechir?
What's that?
It says that don't take credit for learning.
Don't take credit for yourself. Don't take credit. Because you were created for that. Okay, I may have been created for that, but I was given the tools, and I utilized the tools. I mean, not everybody utilizes the tools. So that was... isn't that an input that I'm responsible for? So I'm saying I did a good thing. I mean, why can't I say that I played a role in this process? It wasn't an automatic process. It didn't feel automatic. It sure took a lot of effort. So it's an interesting thing. If you take a look at Rashi, he says that al tachzik tova li'atzmacha lomar kach v'kach lamadati, to say this such and such I learned, v'raya ni shechabduni habrios, and I should get a certain honor. So Rashi says ulefi shehu lo hiniach ba'olam lo mishnah v'lo mikra Shalom Lamad. Since he, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, did not leave any Mishnah or Mikra unlearned. In other words, nothing was left ignored. He covered everything that's part of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh. He exhausted the entire area of Mishnah and Mikra. Okay? The Kachaya Omer came. Therefore, he said this.
So he's talking to people who are doing the same thing he's doing?
He's saying that because he accomplished what he's referring to, so he said this. In other words,
he's not talking about himself.
He's talking to other people, but Rashi's saying, why did he say this statement that if you learn a lot, don't take credit? The reason why he's the one that said it is because he actually accomplished that. He learned a lot, he learned a lot to the nth degree. He learned everything. He covered all of the Torah Shabbat and Torah Shabbat.
Well,
so,
that,
so
does,
yeah.
What does that mean? That the Torah Shabbat is like nothing.
What's that?
Isn't Torah infinite though? Like,
how do you learn everything? Right.
Shabbat.
Okay.
It's crazy, Rashi.
No, that doesn't mean that he learned everything.
Yeah, so we
got the chorus.
Crazy.
Okay, it's a good question, but let's just take it for the time being. Let's try to just follow the line of reason. So Rashi's saying since he's the person that did this, he was in a position where he actually learned a lot. He's saying if you learn a lot, don't take credit. Now how is he qualified to say this? Because he learned a lot. So he's telling you, I did this, and if you do this, don't take credit.
Right.
Right.
Why would you take credit?
What's that?
Why would you take credit?
Okay.
Well, that's
but I don't understand the line of reasoning. I mean, is the statement a statement that we could gain something from, meaning the statement has truth, that when we hear it, we could say, hey, that's true. So if the statement on its own has truth, why do I have to be the person that did it to say it? If I have to be the person that did it to know this is true, then the statement's no value to us, because we didn't do it, so how could we verify that this is true?
Right.
LMI, you can verify it because the statement stands on its own, and if you think about it, you'll see it's true. So then why couldn't anybody say this? Right? I mean, if the statement's true, it's true. It doesn't matter if I did it. If I say 1 plus 1 is 2, it's true, whether I may not myself believe it. So what? I'm not a mathematician, but it's a true thing.
Maybe you can recognize that it's true to an extent, but you would imagine to yourself that if you can learn, you can be like a Gaon, or you can learn a lot, like a, you know, be like a one of these great Rabbanim, then you would earn, like you could be proud of yourself and think that you accomplished something. But then you see from this example that even in that case, it's not something that you can credit to yourself. I mean, you can recognize it a little bit, but you think that maybe a little bit of it is justified if you can learn a lot.
Okay. But like now
they give an extreme example to show you that it doesn't matter how much you know.
I mean, you can only know, like, let's say, like, the first stage in your learning. that oh, now maybe I can't take credit, but, like, when I get to learn more.
Right.
But now you see a real from that guy who kind of went through all the stages. So you
right.
see, no matter at what point you are in your learning, you still can't take credit. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Meaning that we can relate to the idea on some level, but we think to ourselves that maybe, I mean, I know I do, that if we get to a certain level, then you can, yeah, you worked hard to get here, you deserve, you did it. You did accomplish something. But then we see here that not even at that point is it really something to be proud of. I mean, I don't know, what's it even...
Yeah. That's our idea.
What's that?
Yourself?
No, I was just curious of just what it's talking about.
It's like 12 hours of Atmatha.
Right. You want to strengthen yourself?
Is that haughtiness? I was just to do everything in moderation.
Well, Tavzik, right, I think it means don't take credit. Like, sort of,
yeah.
don't attribute it to you, to the self. Don't attribute it to the self. You didn't really do anything. So let's leave that for a second. Maybe let's get a little more idea of what the idea is, then maybe we could
go back
to that. Okay. So
it's just funny how it just stops there and doesn't give you any like usually all the missionaries tell you because of this or because of that.
Right.
And then you can kind of work together. Here it's just open ended. You can plug whatever you want in.
Yeah. That's it. You were created for this, so don't take any credit. Sort of like, right, like a mysterious.
It's like humbling, you know. Like if you're designed to do something and then you finally accomplish doing it, what are you so proud of?
Right.
Why did it take you so long?
Why did it take you so long? Okay.
It's like a. So I remember hearing this comedian saying that he was making fun of his own kind, where he was like, you know, I don't understand, you know, some of these you know, mothers, you know, they send their kids to school, and then they feel like they deserve something. But that's your job. You're supposed to send your kids to school.
Right.
You're supposed to take care of your kids, you know.
That's right.
And yet, like, they deserve, like, they need, you know, some credit.
Yeah. That's right. Right. Sort of your job.
So if you're proud of it, then it means that you think it's extracurricular.
Extra, like you did something extra.
Right.
Like, oh, something extra. Oh.
This wasn't my job. Good job. It's just a great mom.
This isn't.
I'm a kid, I think.
Right. That's the when a person takes credit, there's an implicit idea I did something extra.
Right.
I did something additional. You can't just say, well, I did my job. Alright, did you draw?
Well, let's say, like, supposed to be, we can get this, so maybe I'm not sure what the idea is, but like Covey agent, so if you establish your, this is what I'm going to be learning every day, because I have work to do and have other things to do during my day. So at least I have, this is my learning time. You know, I got out of work early one day. But now this is not my learning, I don't have this set as my learning time.
Right.
But now I use this as my learning time.
Right.
Like, in my head, it sounds like that's extra.
That's extra, right. It sounds like that's extra. That's right. Because I have a set thing, and I did extra. Right?
It's not extra.
So he's saying it's not extra.
There's never extra.
Right. Because he's saying there's never extra. Because he's saying, right, that a person has a certain nature. So when a person... involves himself in something, when a person involves himself in learning, what is he really doing? Is that his nature? That's a person has a certain design. He's created with a certain nature. And when he learns, all he is really doing is he's functioning in line with his nature. You see, if a person doesn't learn, he's doing something outside of his nature. Something peripheral. But if a person learns, if that's the essence of a person, is the love of truth, then when a person pursues truth, he is just actually conforming to his essence. Now, this may be a great accomplishment because it's a very difficult thing to do because the person has factors which are impediments, you see? But when he overcomes impediments in terms of the accomplishment, you see, there's a lot of effort. But in terms of accomplishment, what did he really accomplish? He reached a level where he is just doing things in line with his nature. You see? He is just conforming to his nature. Not doing anything extra. That's what he's saying. He's saying a person looks at it like extra because he's looking like he really should be doing something else, or he's controlling himself, or whatever it is. He's involved in this and he doesn't have to, and he's doing a great thing to help God, or whatever it is. You see? But he's saying that no. When a person involves himself in Chachma, he is actually just acting in line with his nature. He's doing exactly what he's built to do. That's an amazing thing. So, if a person looks at it realistically, there is no room for the sense of accomplishment or the sense of, I deserve a lot of credit. I should get some kind of credit here. What do you mean? Does the table get credit? It's functioning in line with its essence. You are just functioning in line with the way your nature dictates. That's all you've done.
I don't know if this is like... I feel like it's a similar idea. I feel like it's applied somewhere else. Like in terms of like... like if someone gives you tzedakah, right? A guy's giving tzedakah.
Yeah.
Now that's, he like has like an obligation of giving tzedakah. Now when you receive that, I remember hearing like if you say thank you, that's kind of like you're not like a, I forgot the reason why, like you're not allowed to say thank you, because then you're kind of like saying like you owe him something back. You're giving him something, like you owe him something because of what he did.
Right.
But really, when you give stuff, you can't expect anything in return, because that's all the action is. It's nothing more. I'm not supposed to be responding like I'm like the receiving end of this.
Right.
So I feel like there's some similarity in terms of like.
Right. I'm not sure about the tzedakah thing, because I think that that could be a problem. I mean, the way I heard it was that there's an issue of like ribis, like some kind of you're getting something additional,
right?
Beyond the right, he owes you the money back, but now he's giving you a compliment as well, so it's like he's paying some kind of interest or
right. Yeah, isn't that right?
I see what you're saying, but that's in line with this type of thing because it's sort of.
That takes it, I guess it takes it, that takes it out of
right.
It being in line
an
with
inherent, an inherent good, yeah. Getting something in return takes away its an inherent good, so what do you mean? That's the good, giving the guy the money,
right.
Lending him the money, that's right. Yeah.
So if you receive it up, you should say, okay.
Well, it's actually a loan, right? If I loan him money, right? Because if I give somebody tzedakah and he thanks me, that I think would not. And as ribis is, if I lend you money,
right, then you're paying back, and then also
I'm paying back,
thank you.
And I'm thanking him, so I'm giving him like an extra payment,
right.
some additional value. But I think if you give tzedakah, that I might be able to say thank you,
right.
Because okay, he's.
We shouldn't expect it.
You shouldn't expect it.
Right.
Right.
You're not doing it so that you can do someone a favor,
that's right.
Because it's good.
The tzedakah is for that guy, not for your, not to receive a pat on the back. It's for that guy. You're really trying to help that guy.
Right.
That's right. Exactly. But it's interesting. So really, you see, it's like in the second bracha of, the second bracha of the middle brachas. Hashivenu avinu l'sarasecha, v'karavenu malkenu l'bodasecha. Right? So it says, Hashivenu avinu l'sarasecha. Return us to your Torah. So what do you mean, return us? I mean, it should mean God should facilitate that we should cling to the Torah. We should adopt the Torah, whatever it is. We should keep the Torah. But what do you mean return? Return always implies that you have the Torah, you gave it up, and now you're getting it back. I mean, why are you going into that whole history? Who says this guy never left the Torah? So what's the return? So the return is because you could say return. Even if you could say return, if it's something that it's my nature, you see, like I could say, let's say you have a lion in captivity, so you could say return the lion to its natural habitat. Does that mean that lion was once in the habitat and taken away, and now we're returning him? No, even if he was born in captivity. But a return means that the thing belongs there. It doesn't mean it was once there. So it doesn't matter where we. Let's say we never kept the Torah. So the term return would still be applicable, because return always means to something that is natural to me. That's the place that I belong, you see? So it doesn't matter whether I was ever there, but I'm returning to a place I belong, you see? So that's the idea, that the Torah is not an extraneous action. But the Torah is simply the natural derech that a person's nature would dictate. That's the natural derech. If a person was just acting in line with his natural self, with his essence, you see, exactly the way he's designed, if he would act exactly the way he's designed, the most natural thing would be to keep the Torah. That would be exactly in line with it. You'd wake up in the morning and that would be the first thing you want to do. And the reason why it's extraneous to us is because since we are not acting in line with our nature, but we're acting in a distorted, based on something, a distortion in our nature, we're running after things that are not in line with the essence of our nature, but are in line with certain emotions that took over, that became excessive and pushed away the rationality. So since we're acting in line with those emotions, that's a distortion, really. But if a person was just acting, if a person was on a, was in the on the level where he's operating exactly the way he's built to operate, you see, then he'd be doing this action. You see, then he'd be keeping the Torah. You see, of course, a person that's not it's not natural in the sense that when a person is born, he's that way. You see, it requires development and effort to get to that level. But when I say natural, I mean that is the way he's designed to function in a perfect state. You see? So it would be like a car. Let's say you have a car, so you have all the parts in disarray. Right? So it's not natural that the car functions a certain way. But if all the parts are assembled the way they were made to be assembled, then you get into the car, you step on the gas, it moves. That's it. Now, if it's assembled in a way, if it's put together by a person that doesn't understand how a car works, so of course you get into the car, there's all kinds of problems. You step on the gas, it stalls. You see? So a person's not natural, I don't mean he's naturally built, that without any effort he's just in a perfect state. But I mean to say that when he puts in the effort and puts the parts of his personality in the proper array, you see, if he's successful in doing that, then he'll achieve a level where he is acting seamlessly, just like a car that's assembled perfectly. You get in, the thing moves, that's it. Doesn't break down, just keeps running. You see, now a car like that, you wouldn't say, wow, look at the way this car's running. It really deserves a lot of credit. Well, of course, if the car, if all the parts are operating and assembled perfectly, of course it's gonna. That's it. There would be no way it would operate otherwise. Same thing with person. Okay, so that's what he's saying. See, if the person conducts himself in the way that everything, all of his components, are properly functioning, this is exactly what he would do effortlessly. No conflict. Effortless action. And it would be exactly what his nature dictates. It would be nothing, no big accomplishment. On the contrary, for him not to do this would be astounding. Not to do this, to go against this. It would be like almost impossible. All right? It's like that's what you were saying. It's like that's your job. I mean, you're doing a job. It's the thing you love doing. It's your job. Is it? What are you?
I guess in terms of like your job, something outside, let's say Torah, or even Torah, you see it as well. Like people who are outside and are looking in, see this as a huge accomplishment.
That's right. That's right, exactly.
So in that sense, it's very hard to get out of that, because when other people are saying, oh, like, Torah as well, other people outside,
that's right,
always say, oh, this guy's a huge self.
Look at this, yeah, the guy's sitting, how does a guy do this, 20, guy's learning 18 hours a day, how is this right. possible? For him, it would be torture for him to stop.
But that... Now, when that guy hears it, who actually is learning or doing his job, that, like, when you hear that, it's very hard not to kind of give in to that. Meaning, when I hear, let's say, if someone else is giving you the credit,
right?
It's very hard to throw that out.
That's right.
Meaning, you're yourself not giving the credit, because I know I can't get credit for this. But, like, when someone else is hearing, he's like, oh, I feel like there's a difference in terms of not giving credit to yourself, or when someone else gives you credit. Because if you don't give credit to yourself, it's kind of like a humbling something, like...
Right. But that's what he's saying. He's saying that a person that is operating in this fashion, he wouldn't give credit to himself, and when another person gives him credit, he wouldn't register to him.
Right.
Because he simply that's doesn't true. Have that... That doesn't register.
That's true.
Very interesting. Very interesting, right?
So, like, maybe this first thing is kind of like,
Like, what really, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And it's, like, so obvious. And it's kind of like, why is he writing this?
That's
like,
right. That's right. That's right. So why is it that we need him to say it? I mean, if it's true, it's true. Huh? Coming back to that, the original point. Right? Why is it necessary that the one that learnt everything should be the one to say this? Is it a true idea?
I guess he went through it all, and at no point was it extra, or did he see it as extra?
Right.
Meaning, us that didn't go through it all
right.
may say, well, if I learn this and stuff, that, right, this is not applicable now for bonus, so like, that's gotta be extra.
That's right.
But him, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who went through it all, even things that are have nothing to do with anything now, and
you see, it's like you're saying, like, the person looking from the outside looks at it different than the person themselves. So it is true we can know the idea. We can rationally know the idea, you see. But we relate to the idea, it's not real to us. Even though we know it's true, right? Because if we don't know it's true, if you have to experience it to know it, then there's no value. So you don't have to experience it. We know it's true without experiencing it. But there's a difference between knowing something and how you relate to that knowledge. I know a lot of things, but are they real to me? Well, you know, you don't relate to it as on the same level as if you experienced it. Because this has to do with a human perfection. You see? So if I'm not on the level, it's true, I know it's true. You see, but my relationship to the knowledge is not the same, because there's a part of me that is still, there's an emotional part of me that still is fixed to the idea of accomplishment. You see, so that's why the statement was made by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, because if a person makes that statement who knows it rationally, but it is not, he doesn't have the same relationship to it, he will not be able to express it, or he may not be able to express it in the proper way, because there's a part of him that doesn't really experience it, you see. But a person that knows it, and he has experienced it, so he is convinced, his relationship to the knowledge is different, he's the one that can express it properly. You see? So he is the one that we can rely on to say it in the proper way. Because there's no counter emotion that would distort the idea. You see? So we rely on him to make the statement. We know it's true just like he knows it's true. You see? But we have a part of us that's not, that's also, It's also attached to the other idea. You see, so that's all it means. It doesn't mean that rationally he can know better than us, because either you know it or you don't know it.
Yeah.
But in him, he has experienced it, so it's a reality to him. Right?
Yeah.
That's why, like, you could get confused. A person could who knows it rationally, but emotionally he feels the other way. He could be tripped up. Like, you look at the guy, you go, oh, well, implicitly you feel, hey, he's doing something. See, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did not feel that way. Okay. That's it. That's the story.
Very good.
Alrighty.